Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Listen to us, please, listen to us.
All we are saying is give public schools a chance.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And new tests, testing what exactly?
I'm very concerned because we're talking a lot about the tests and we're talking about getting technology, but we're not talking about the kids actually creating it, which is in the standards. We're talking about them being assessed on it.
A teacher of the sixth grade in Bancroft School in Sacramento, California, getting ready to make data points in a huge social experiment across America. The new regime of testing is the first chance to see in school districts around the country if the Common Core curriculum is working. Today, thousands of students will begin taking a new standardized test in Massachusetts called the PARC. Massachusetts Education Commissioner Mitchell Chester is excited by the new tests.
Too many of our young people are meeting all of the requirements that we've set for a high school diploma, but they're not ready for what college expects, and they're not ready for what employers expect.
New York State also has a new testing regime in place, and thousands of families have opted out of the tests. This campaign ad speaks to them. It was produced by the Test Critic Group, the New York State Alliance for Public Education.
Parents across New York State already know that learning is complex and looks different for every child. They also know that tests reduce our children to numbers, data points, and measure only a tiny fraction of what's important, all while ignoring creativity, critical thinking, and teamwork.
If there wasn't concern from parents, I would be worried, because then things are not changing.
That's Maria DeArmas, Assistant Superintendent of Curriculum at the Miami-Dade County Public Schools in Florida, speaking to WLRN in Miami. They have their own controversy over Common Core testing. As I mentioned, the PARC exams begin in Massachusetts today. Kirk Carapez, a higher education reporter with our partner WGBH in Boston, breaks down what students in Massachusetts are facing today as they sit down for this new round of tests.
It's called PARC. That stands for the Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for College and Careers. The PARC will be administered in schools across the state in grades 3 to 8. Half of the schools in Massachusetts opted to test it out, and the goal is to compare it to the 20-year-old test that we've had here in the state, which is called MCAS. I took that when I was in high school. The supporters of PARC say this will measure whether students are ready for college and careers, whether they have what it takes to succeed, because they point out that those students who passed the MCAS and went on to state public colleges and universities were ending up in remedial education. Some were dropping out, and they were never earning college credits.
What's your review of the PARC test?
I tried it out this week, and I got to be honest, as someone who took the MCAS in high school, it was eye-opening. The PARC exam is very different from the old exam. For one thing, it's all computer-based, and it requires a lot of digital literacy. At one point in the English language arts section, I actually had to watch a YouTube video and then write about it. The exam is much more demanding than the old exam that we have here in Massachusetts. There are more technical words. There's a lot more written assignments. Even in the math section, students are expected to not only give an answer, but then explain how they got that answer. The teachers that I've heard from, you know, when I visit classrooms, say all this testing is taking away from teaching and learning, that, you know, they're not teaching a certain novel because they have to administer this test. Others, I think, are holding out and really waiting to form an opinion. And they recognize the fact that this exam is different and it requires their students to be more analytical. So I think Massachusetts and other states have their work cut out for them in terms of measuring whether this test is really signaling whether kids are ready for college.
Kirk Carapeza, WGBH's higher education reporter. Susan Engel is a developmental psychologist at Williams College in Massachusetts, and she explains how these Common Core exams have their roots in the standards set a decade ago under No Child Left Behind.
Well, I think they're tweaks as I understand them so far, and they're premised on an idea that I'm interested in questioning, which is the idea that the things that are most important to get out of a grade school or a high school education are certain very specific skills, many of them measured on paper and pencil tests. And a second piece of that is the idea that the outcome of those tests or the outcome of those skills should be work. The idea that education should prepare you for work is a strange notion, and it wasn't the idea behind school for everyone in the first place. The idea of this new test, if it encourages a deeper kind of thinking, that's awesome, and that is what good teaching to the test would be like. But it's just as likely that it will become a new set of constraints on what teachers and children do in a classroom. And after all, in the long run, it's not how well you can answer a question on a test that defines whether you've had a good educational experience.
How much are the data from tests matched to the outcomes of students? I mean, it's one thing to compare students' performance on tests as a measure of one thing, but then it's quite something else to try to determine if those tests are predictive of success either in college or beyond.
I've looked at over 300 studies that in one way or another are trying to characterize the predictive capacity of these tests, and they predict almost nothing. They lead to something. So if you get a good score, you're going to get into the better school. And then if you go to the better school, you're more likely to get the better job. So it causes something good, but that doesn't mean it describes something valuable or measure something that goes on being valuable. So the fact that you get a high score doesn't necessarily say anything about whether you'll be a thoughtful person, whether you'll find meaning in the work that you do, whether you'll know how to collaborate with others, some of the things that we actually think are more important in adult life. And there is very little to zero evidence that the kinds of test scores we've been using until now predict any of those things in later life.
And Susan, if you were to take a design approach to school and try to come up with a way of really measuring what it is we want out of school and trying to aim for that, how would you go about doing that? Have you given that some thought?
I have. I just wrote a book about it. And the piece so far that seems to have gotten the most attention about the book is this idea that we could measure different things. So we could measure things like curiosity, the ability to collaborate, the ability to get engaged in something and pursue it over time. So there are other qualities that are not only important in adult life, but as Kirk said before, teaching to those qualities would be a great thing. So if you went into a school where kids were being encouraged to ask questions and pursue the things that interested them and help others and engage in serious debate and argument with people they liked about topics that they cared about, you'd see good things going on in the school. You'd see teachers and students who actually liked being there together. And you could measure those things. We've gotten cornered into thinking that the only way to measure things is with paper and pencil or a computer screen. But I'm a psychologist. I know that we measure all kinds of things. We measure people's unconscious stereotypes. We measure people's impulse to gamble. We measure what makes people fall in love with each other. So why couldn't we measure the things that really matter to us and our children's education? The single most important quality colleges want and employers want is a love of learning. The trouble is everyone uses that phrase, they throw it out, but they don't really think about what it would take to instill in children a love of learning. And that's worth paying attention to, because if you've got a group of college students who couldn't do some certain skill, but they really wanted to be there and they wanted to acquire new information, then you'd be able to do that. You know, that nothing would stop you. So it's a question of shifting what our focus is on.
Susan Engel is the author of End of the Rainbow, How Educating for Happiness, Not Money, Would Transform Our Schools. So are tests transforming your schools, putting unnecessary stress on students, measuring academic achievement? New York City, standardized tests have value if they are correctly assembled, but there are some bad exams made. Why? Follow the money.
This is Sharon Green from Wareham, Massachusetts. Standardized testing doesn't really have any value. We're not teaching for the student. We're teaching so they can pass a test. Teach kids to excel in what they're good at, be proud in what they're good at, and maybe we'll graduate some competent adults.
This is John Womack from St. Louis. Standardized tests are great, telling you who's good at taking standardized tests.
Getting good at tests, not education. What do you think about all of this? Call us at 877-8MYTAKE or tweet us at The Takeaway.